Well, good morning. My name's Eddie Tilley. It's so good to have you here with us this morning. If you've never been to Cathedral for a service, great service to come this weekend. And this round of applause right here is for you. We're glad that you're here this morning. Thank you guys for being here. We're getting ready to receive the offering. Guest services is going to come forward. While they do that, we would love for you to fill out the connection card located in the seat back in front of you. Just a great way to communicate with us anything that you need to ask us or need to know about or would love to make us aware of. Also, if this is your first time, there's a box that says first time guest. You could check that and you can place it in the offering in just a moment. I'll tell you about a couple of other things going on. One is we've got an awesome opportunity coming up August 7th at the River Dogs. We are going to have a game that is just for our church. So we're going to like fill the whole River Dog Stadium with Cathedral, and everything that happens is going to be Cathedral. It's a real game with a real opponent for the River Dogs, but we're throwing out the first pitch. We are singing the national anthem. We're doing that whole deal. Yes. So it's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to hear a lot more about it. We want to get everybody on board. We want to just pack it out and just have an awesome time at the ball game. So that'd be a good, fun thing to do for the summer. Also, want to remind you about the selfie wall out there. Love seeing y'all's pictures on Facebook and all that. Oh, one thing, if you could hashtag it, We Are Cathedral, it helps us find them, and then that way we can like use them in a service. You might see your picture up on the big screen. So don't not do it because you don't want your picture up there, all right? But a hashtag at We Are Cathedral. We love when you guys put that out on Facebook and all the other social media. Also, the hub is out there. If you need to know what's going on around the church, what's coming up, events that are coming up, or if you want to find out how to get connected, or if this is your first time, and we would love to meet you. And so just come into the hub and give us an opportunity to meet and talk with you. And the food trucks are out there. Man, I smelled them when I walked in the door for this service, and I text a couple of guys. I was like, okay, who hit the food trucks? And somebody just texts back, all caps, grilled lobster and cheese. I was like, oh, yeah, that just sounds really, really good. Especially if you throw a little slab of bacon on there. So anyway, bacon makes everything better, man. I'm just telling you, that's just how it is, just the way it is. All right, let's pray over our offering. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to give back to you. You're a good, good Father, and you love us so much, and we just love to continue our worship through our tithes and offerings. So, Lord, as your people give, I pray you'd bless them just with the promises of your word, with an open window of heaven over their life that just pours out so much blessing over them that they don't even have room to contain it. So, Lord, bless your people as they give this morning in Jesus' name. Now, how many of you have enjoyed Voices of Cathedral up here this morning so far? How many of you have been full of life and energy? Good, because they got one more little song for you. Y'all enjoy it. Well, we're in our summer series right now, and we are talking about the We Believes of Cathedral, and these are our core values. So we're just having a blast this summer, creatively, just having fun and sort of communicating to you what it is we believe we are as a church and what we're called to do. And this morning, we have some incredible guest speakers. They know the We Believes inside and out because they are Cathedral DNAers. I mean, they have got it in them. Many of you know them. They're one of the young married couples in our churches, Bo and Alice Reeves. Yes. See, got your own fan club. And my bacon comment was just for Bo because Bo happens to be a cardiologist. So he appreciates the benefits of bacon in our lives. In moderation, of course, Bo. Yes. Yes, but Bo is a cardiologist, and together they do a lot of speaking. They do a lot of teaching here at the church. They do speaking in other places as well about relationships, and they just have a passion for people. They have a passion for seeing people get connected. They have a passion for seeing people win, not only in their personal life, but also in relationships. And they just love people. So they're kind of like those people, you know, when little kids, often in a neighborhood, little kids kind of congregate in one house. There's that one house everybody wants to go to. And Bo and Alice kind of, they put off that kind of a feel to them. It's like everybody just loves to come and listen to them and hear what they have to say because they're so down to earth. They have accomplished so much in their life, but they are the most down-to-earth, loving, and caring people you will ever meet. So would you give them one more big round of applause? And then before they come, we've got a video to kind of help set up what they're talking about this morning. Take a look at the screen.
How y'all doing today? We have greatly enjoyed being a part of the marriage ministry at Cathedral over the last 20 years. And we're starting up in September with Marriage 101 and then in October with Marriage 102. And so we would like to see many of you there. Dating couples, engaged couples, married couples, any couples that have any kind of relationship, we'd love to see you there. And the information is on the website. Today's topic is, we believe you belong. Have you ever felt like that you were in a place where you didn't quite belong, you didn't feel like you fit in? Or maybe you were in a group and you saw someone else who looked like they didn't quite fit in. Have you ever been in that kind of situation?
Well, I think we've all been in a situation where we felt like we didn't belong. And sometimes we didn't belong there. You want to be in the place where God really wants you to belong. Yeah. One time I bought a special on one of those living socials. Have you all ever fallen for that? Well, it was for a camera, a photography session. It said, if you want to learn how to use your camera better and understand your camera, well, I do. I wanted to understand my camera. I have a decent camera. It's not a super expensive one, but it's a decent one. So we went to this Saturday in the middle of the summer out at a county park, and it was going to be an all-day camera thing that I drug Bo to go with me.
I was the chauffeur.
He was the chauffeur, I guess, to protect me. But when I got there, there were like 12 people. We sat around a table, and everybody had to introduce themselves and explain their camera. Well, they went around, and everybody explained their cameras, and their lens cost like four times more than my camera. I knew I was in trouble. And so when they got to me, the man said, the instructor said, he looked at my camera, and he said, well, at least you didn't bring your phone. So I knew I was in the wrong place. I did not belong at that table. They talked about all kinds of things to do with, after a couple of hours, I just had to finally get out of there because I knew I didn't belong in that place. You want to be where you belong, not in the wrong relationship. That reminds me, some of y'all might be in the wrong relationship. Y'all getting awfully quiet. You know, we hook up with a lot of different people, but we want to be sure that we're in the right relationship, that this is the one that God says you belong in, whether it's a friend or wherever. You can work with a lot of people, but being in a relationship with somebody is different. We're going to talk today about where do you really belong. We all are wired, don't you think, to belong somewhere. You want to belong to clubs. You want to belong in a family. You want to belong in a marriage. You want to belong at a church. You want to belong at places. People join, spend a lot of money to belong somewhere.
Right. I think the first place that is important for us to know that we belong is that we belong to God. Now, God tells us in the Bible that you belong to me. There are several verses that support that. In the Old Testament, in Isaiah, it says, now says the Lord, he who created you, he who formed you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Then in the New Testament, in 1 John, it says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. And then in Ephesians, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be be holy and without fault in his eyes. So we are created by God to belong to God. Many of you have already know that and experience that sensation, that knowledge, that understanding, experience what it's like to belong to God. Some of you are still trying to do life alone and without God. Belonging to God means that he has your back. It means that he is with you wherever you are, wherever you go. Sometimes you're aware of it and sometimes you're not, but he is with you because he's promised that he has been. Belonging to God means that after this life is over, we will spend eternity with him in heaven. It's not because of anything that we've done. It's because of who he is.
When you belong to him, you walk in favor. And a lot of people, even though they belong to God, they walk and they feel bad about themselves. They think, nothing good's going to happen to me. Only bad's going to happen to me. They have no expectation. One of the things we pray together every day, and one of the things that we pray is, we say, we're looking forward to what you're going to do today. It's an expectation that when you know that you belong to Him, you're looking forward. You don't know how you're going to get out of this situation. You don't know how the money's going to happen. You don't know how the relationship's going to go. But we're looking forward to what God's going to do in it. It's an expectation that because I belong to God, I'm expecting great and mighty things from a great and mighty God. When I was a little girl, my daddy worked for the South Carolina Electric and Gas Company. I actually thought he owned the South Carolina Electric and Gas Company because he told me that when I asked him what he did, he said he made electricity. So I thought, wow, my daddy makes electricity and he owns the company. So I felt really good when I went to the place where he worked, which was called Plant Haygood. Turned out that he was a turbine operator and he just pushed a few dials and buttons and this and that and the other. But when I walked in that building as a little girl, I can remember the feeling of I wasn't afraid, I wasn't scared, I didn't hide. I walked in with my head up and I was expecting good things. And what happened when I walked in, all the men that worked in there would say, Arthur Rabin's daughter is here. Everybody, look, Arthur, your daughter is here. Your daughter is here. And it was like the way was made for me. They'd give me a Coke or a bag of peanuts. It was not because my daddy made electricity or owned the company. It was because of the respect and who he was to them. Now, the truth is, my daddy died when I was 10. And I started a relationship with my Heavenly Father, who actually really does own the company and make electricity. Now, that is your Father, too. We need to remember and walk expecting, I belong to the Most High God. And He's got great things planned for me. I have no idea how He's going to work it out, but I belong to Him. You know, when your children belong to you, it is amazing how much money you spend, how much work you do, what all you will do. I mean, I've been to, with our children, I went to track meets and had gnats and mosquitoes all over me for hours to watch him run a 1 mile in less than 5.5 minutes. But I'd stay all day to watch that and the other events. What have you done because of your child? Because that child belongs to you. It's amazing what all you will do when the child belongs to you. And that's what God says. It is amazing what I will do because you belong to me. When you've got a problem, well, let me just tell you, one time our son was driving home from high school. Now, I agree he probably drove a little bit too fast, but what 16-year-old doesn't drive a little bit too fast in the neighborhood? And the girl in front of him was our neighbor's daughter, and she was going real slow just to provoke him. So when she got home, she told her mother that he was riding on her bumper and causing a ruckus. So that mother came over to my house, came up to my door to tell me what a lousy driver my son was. You know what I'm going to say. This does not go well. I can tear up my children, and I can read them the riot act, but don't you dare, right? Isn't that how we feel? That child belongs to me. I will take care of him. Thank you very much. So I let her know that. In the most Christian way, of course. I let her know that's my child and I will be the only one tearing him apart. Oh, I forgot to tell you, the part was that when I opened the door, she started attacking him and telling him how terrible he was. I forgot to tell you that part. It would have been one thing if she had told me, but she was attacking my son. And of course, after the door was closed and she was gone, then I dealt with the problem and he was on car restriction for who knows how long. But when the child belongs to you, what will you do? all for good or for correction. And that's how God feels about us. He says, you walk knowing I've got you covered. You belong to me. You can't get too far from me. I will find. We want you. We actually want you here. We like people here. We're in the people business. Everything we do is for the people to come into the presence of God, to be built up and to be refreshed. And in this place, we need you here. We have a big mission. We've got a lot to do. And you have experiences and abilities and all kinds of things. So we need you. The second thing is that we think you should be here for you, for yourself. It's a good place. It's amazing, all the friends. Some of the best friends I've ever had in my whole life I have found at this place. A lot of times when we ask people, why do you like Cathedral? What have you found at Cathedral? What words would you use?
Right. They say things like, it's like home. It's like a friendly environment. It's like I feel like I belong here. It's so comfortable there.
We want you to feel comfortable. We want you to feel accepted here. Did you hear about the one church? It wasn't anywhere in this area, but it was a church where a woman came in and she was a little bit skimpy dressed. And so some of the members protested. They went to the preacher. They said, you have got to talk to her. So he did, talked to her about the way she dressed. The second week she showed up. This time her pants were too tight, her sweater was too tight. And the members said, okay, you got to talk to her again. So the preacher talked to her the second time and he said, now this time I want you to pray and ask God what you should wear to church. So she said, okay. So the third week she showed up, same outfit, hadn't changed. The preacher went to her and he said, I thought I asked you to talk to God about it. She said, I did. And he said, I have no idea what you should wear. I have never been to that church. Okay, we want you to feel comfortable. We don't want to be sitting around criticizing and sitting in judgment. This is a place that where God has called you because he has something to say.
And God has been to this church.
And God has been to this church. That's right. In fact, he is here as we speak.
Right. So look at the person on your right and say, you belong.
Here.
Now look at the person on your left and say,
I'm not so sure about you. No. No, sorry. Don't say that. Tell that person, you belong here. We would like for you to belong to the church family here. But if not this place, then find another Bible-believing church where they love people, not just a system or a building or a place or a certain way, but where they love people and they want the best for you. They want you to grow and to be healed and to have fun experiences and to find friends and to just enjoy life, to know the presence of God. Find a place where God's presence is welcome and where you are welcome.
So, first, we believe you belong to God. Second, we believe you belong in a church family, and hopefully it's this church family. The third thing we believe is that you belong in safe relationships. Now, your relationship with God is safe because he tells us in Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. God also wants your relationships with other people to be safe. Now, what does a safe relationship really mean? How do you feel when you are in a safe relationship? Well, you feel confident and you trust that other person is going to value your feelings, value your dreams, value your thoughts, your ideas, your goals. Take care of your heart and treat all of that with the utmost care. Gary Smalley says that safe is when you feel free to open up and reveal who you really are and know that the other person will still love, accept, and value you no matter what. Now, all our relationships should be that way, but often they're not, because we haven't really understood what it means to either provide a safe relationship or what a safe relationship really should feel like. So how do you build a relationship, whether it's a marriage relationship, a parent-child relationship, whether it's a relationship with the person you're sitting next to here in church, maybe it's your neighbor or people that you work with. How do you build a safe relationship? Well, let's use the letters in the word safe to talk about that. So the S stands for security. So how do you create a secure relationship? Well, this is often a tough one for us, especially for men, because we want to fix things. And so if the only tool that you have to fix something is a hammer, then everything looks like a nail. And so you go around fixing everything with a hammer. And sometimes that breaks things instead of fixes things. So one of the things that's important is to learn what the other tools are to use in a relationship. A lot of times we want to just say what we want to say, and however it lands, that's a problem. And so sometimes we just really don't have a clue what's going on. And so we say things and do things that make people feel insecure or unsafe.
Well, I think also anger plays into this. In a lot of relationships, have you ever noticed that when one person is angry or in critical all the time, then your walls come up? You have to put walls up to protect yourself because right. You walk on eggshells. You're so afraid that this person's going to explode or get angry again. So everybody in the family has to walk in on eggshells or in that relationship, which makes it not a safe one. So if you want somebody to feel secure, then we've got to deal with those emotions.
Right. Let me tell you about a situation that was a game changer for me in my life. We had been married about 10 years. We lived in North Carolina. We had two small children. Alice had gone shopping with the children, and she had put them back in the car, in their car seats, and she got in the car to drive home.
I was in a hurry.
Probably because they were hungry, right? And we had.
And I was late.
And so when she pulled out of the parking place in the parking lot, she thought that the car was going to bend around the light pole.
I wrapped the car around a light post in the parking lot.
Well, part of the car did bend.
By accident.
So when she got home and she was telling me about this, and this part of the story I'm not totally proud of, but it's what I did. I just exploded. Totally out of proportion to the significance of what had happened, but I just exploded. And Alice, in a way that wives just have this way of saying things, that she said, "It's only a car. It can be fixed." I'll never forget those words, but because they were so true. And that's really one of the things that I love about you, is that you say it like it is, and you say it in a way that I can receive it. And so this whole incident was such a game changer, because I realized that I don't want my wife and children to feel like that they're living in an insecure relationship with me. I want them to feel like that I'm a security to them. I don't want them to feel like they have to walk on eggshells whenever they're around me. So this was a real game changer. Now, let me tell you some of the rest of the story. It kind of puts the whole thing in a somewhat perspective. I was able to get the dent out of the car with a plumber's friend, by the way. Just pop it on and pull it out.
Of course, he told me it was going to be very expensive and take a long time, and it was going to be in the shop, and it was just like
well,
the end of the world.
Well, which is what I thought until I found out about this little plumber's friend trick.
But remember, I walk in favor and in the blessings of the Most High God. And so he took the plumber's friend and went out there and just well, pop that thing right out. Thank you, Jesus.
That's true. That's true. So the only cost was our relationship. So the other thing that...
What in the world?
Oh.
A wasp crawling up my back. But see, it didn't bother me because I walk in the favor of the Most High God. Woo!
Right.
You know, I thought I saw something go by. And sometimes in life, you think something might be going by. I even looked to see what it was. And it could have been something dangerous. And how many times, because you belong to the Most High God, somebody else...
Right.
Comes up and rescues you, saves you. Nothing ever touched me.
That's right.
Woo! You gotta love it, right?
Right.
Now, do you remember where you were?
I think I do. So,
plumber's friend.
Yeah, well, I'm going to the next sentence now.
Okay.
The other thing is that in the years since that time, we have had many cars, and we've had many dents.
Not for me.
Cars,
I don't wrap around
some of which I have caused, and some of which other people who've been driving our cars have caused.
Other people have run into me. I haven't run into anybody yet.
So what is it? What is it in your life? What is the situation in your relationships that are going to be a game changer for you? Maybe today needs to be the day that the game is changed. Not that something bad would happen today to make you change, but that something God would do in your heart, good, that would be a game changer for you.
Well, the only thing I said to him, it was very small. It wasn't a paragraph, it wasn't a page, it wasn't a chapter. I didn't ridicule him. I just said, it's only a car. It can be fixed. And God used that in his life. He paid attention. See, it sounded like it came from me, but it was really God saying, son, I want to change something in you. I want your relationship to be awesome. And so listen to what is being said. He did. I'm so glad you did. He is one of the safest. In fact, that's a word I would often use to describe him. He's very safe. He makes me and anyone else, his patients or anyone else in our classes, feel secure because he made the game change. I think that's a very good point. I'm glad you made that today because we all, men and women, boys and girls, need to have times when we change the way we're responding and reacting in our relationships so that other people will feel safe. Let's look at the next one. The A is for acceptance and safe. If you want your relationship to be safe, then what do I need to do to accept? Well, Bo told me that he would always accept my phone calls. Even though he was at the hospital taking care of people trying to die, I could always call him. I mean, I didn't mean to say they were trying to die, but y'all know what I mean. I feel like they're trying to die when we were having Easter dinner or something. But anyway, he said, you can always call me. I am never too busy for you. But I never did because, I mean, he's taking care of serious things and I'm just dealing with the washing machine overflowing. So I never really did bother him a call. But then when he got a cell phone, this was in the early days of the cell phone, I thought, I'm going to just give this thing a try. So I called him on the cell phone. Well, he happened to be doing a heart cath. And when he's doing the heart cath, he can't just answer his cell phone. And so he let one of the technicians pick up his cell phone. And this technician said, oh, it's from your wife. He said, okay. So she pushed it on speaker. Well, I forgot to tell y'all the part that I had just taught a class on how to be the wife of a happy husband. And I had given the girls some homework.
And we know what the main topic of that was.
And so I was going to practice the homework. And so I decided I would call him with a inviting romantic message. I did. And so when the speaker thing, that girl pushed the speaker thing. You know what the cath lab is? It looks like an operating room. It's got a table. There is a patient that is not asleep on the table. And all the technicians are standing around, and he's doing his thing. And I come on with my warm, inviting, romantic invitation. In the whole room, everybody heard it. Were you embarrassed or proud?
Proud.
I was embarrassed because immediately... They put the phone up to his mouth, and he said, I will call you back later. And I knew I was in trouble. I don't remember if it was very warm and inviting when you got home. But I was embarrassed. But at least I knew.
I didn't change my attitude.
You accepted the invitation. I don't remember the rest of that story.
We're talking about acceptance, remember?
I felt accepted by him. I felt safe that I could say something like that and that he would receive it and he would love it. He did. It's just a whole room of other people loved it too. Now, I haven't always been in relationships that accepted me. You know what it's like to not feel accepted. We need to feel accepted for being a man or a woman or for our temperaments or for being old or young or sick or needy. We need to be accepted in our safe relationship. Do you feel accepted when you're needy? Y'all are thinking about that because sometimes you don't feel like it's okay. It's not safe for me to say, I need... Sometimes he's really busy and task-oriented, and I need to say, I need attention. Does that feel funny to you? Do you feel safe saying, I need attention? Or is he going to say, well, too bad. He won't. He says, we make a plan of when we can be together. It's important to feel safe and secure and accepted. I worked for a man one time who said he loved what I did. I did good work. He liked the way I did it. But he told me I would never be able to advance because I was a woman. I thought, well, you know what? Some things I can change. I can change the color of my hair. But I can't change being a woman, and I don't plan to. So it was the non-acceptance there felt like I was not in a safe working relationship. As it turned out, I needed to leave that place, and I worked somewhere else where it was so much better. It was so much acceptance in the next place that it was overwhelming. I wasn't used to working in an environment like that. And I found that God brought out so much more in me in a place where I could work, where I felt accepted.
The third letter in the word safe is F, and it stands for forgiveness. If you want to build a relationship that is safe, then plan on lots of apologies and lots of forgiveness. Everybody makes mistakes. It's part of life. Don't expect other people to be perfect, and don't expect yourself to be perfect. But if you make a mistake, is it over? Or can things be whatever the results of that? Mistakes have consequences, for sure, they do. But none of those consequences is impossible to overcome. I can't help but think about the story of Simon Peter in the Bible, when we talk about forgiveness. You remember Simon Peter was one of Jesus' disciples. He was a fisherman. And his birth name was Simon, which means swaying in the wind like a reed. And so whatever the circumstances was, he would sway in that direction or he would sway in this direction. He wasn't steady or stable. And when Jesus chose him as a disciple, Jesus said, I'm going to call you Peter, which means rock, solid. And so then, of course, a few years later, we know what Peter did. Peter denied Jesus three times when Jesus had been arrested and the people said, aren't you one of his disciples? Don't you know him? And he said, no. And he did that three different times. So Peter had really messed up royally. Can you imagine doing anything worse than denying Jesus, especially when you were right there with him? So he really messed up. But what did Jesus do? Jesus restored him. He forgave him. He brought him back because Jesus knew the potential that was in Peter and was in the relationship between Jesus and Peter. Jesus knew that if that relationship was maintained, the great things that Peter would be able to do, which he subsequently did in the beginning church, the beginning of the Christian church. So when we're thinking about our own relationships and when we're thinking about somebody does something that we don't like or somebody makes a mistake or somebody offends, then our response is to forgive them. Now, forgiving doesn't mean that you deny that something happened. It doesn't mean that you condone abusive behavior. It doesn't mean that you stay in a dangerous situation. We're not talking about that at all. And apologies have so much power. Have you ever really thought about the power that's in an apology? An apology says, I accept the responsibility for what I did that hurt you or offended you. And I'm asking you to forgive me. A relationship that's built on a combination of apology and forgiveness is so strong and so safe that that relationship can weather almost anything. It can be a turning point in a relationship that maybe is struggling. It can be a growth step that says, this relationship is going to be stronger, better, and safer.
Okay, and safe, we've got security and acceptance, forgiveness, and it's got to have the E for the encouragement. We all need encouragement. A safe place, a safe relationship will be one that will encourage you to be who you need to be and who God's called you to be. I remember one time when our children were they were 1 and 3, and I was overwhelmed and just so full of emotion that I'm doing it wrong. It's too much to do. I'm not doing it right. And I was able to tell Bo, because we have a safe relationship, how I felt. And he wasn't going to say, well, you're right, you are doing a lousy job, you are not a good mother, because what I said to him is, I'm not the right mother for these children. I'm just not the right mother. God must have made a mistake. I am not the right mother.
Now, you know, that scares a husband to death when a wife says something like that.
He didn't say, you're right, you are the wrong mother. He said, you are the right mother for these children. You have what they need. I didn't feel like the right mother. I didn't feel like I had the right thing. But because it was a safe relationship, I could accept what he was saying and have hope and encouragement to keep on, to do the next day, to do better, to do differently, to trust what he was saying, that he was beside me and he was going to help me. It reminds me of Zacchaeus in the Bible. Do you remember? He was that little man that was a tax collector. He stole money from people. He took more than he should take as a tax collector from the people, from his own people. One day Jesus was coming to town, and the Bible tells us that Zacchaeus was a little man, short. They just make a big deal about how short he was, how little he was, and that he climbed a tree so he could see Jesus. Jesus knew where he was. He was not hiding from Jesus. I wonder if he was up in the tree because he didn't feel comfortable belonging to the people on the ground. He couldn't be in the group of people walking because he was hated and rejected. He didn't feel like he belonged. See, I'm wondering if his smallness really wasn't about how short he was. His smallness was how he felt about himself. He felt small because he didn't fit in. He felt small because he had done wrong. He felt small because he was being mean to those people by taking too much from them. So he was up in the tree. But you know what? Jesus knew he was in the tree. He knows where you are. If you're up in the tree, he does know where you are. And he will come find you in that tree. So he stops under the tree. He asks Zacchaeus to come down. He says, come down because I'm going to your house for dinner. It's not that he needed fried chicken. It's not that Jesus needed a place to take a shower or sleep. He was going to Zacchaeus' house because he knew that his presence was what Zacchaeus needed. To be in the presence of Jesus. You know, you can't be in the presence of Jesus without being affected, without changing. It will change you. You can feel the presence of God through music, through a video, through a sermon, through being in church. Have you ever been around a person and you could sense the presence of God in that person? They maybe not even talking about Jesus, not carrying a Bible. It's just something about being around them. The God in them just starts oozing out. You've been around people like that. We want to be people like that. We want to be people that the living God, the Most High God, my Father, comes out. You remember that daddy I was telling you about that died when I was 10? Now, he didn't really teach me to walk, but I can remember every time we went to be with family relatives in Florida, my daddy's relatives, and they would see me walking. Do you know what they would say? I can remember this. It just came to me a few minutes ago. They would say this to me, "You walk just like your daddy." And I thought, I walk like a man? It was something about the way I walked reminded them of my daddy. I want people to say that about me. You walk just like Almighty God. You talk just, I know who you talk like. You talk like your Father. You walk like your Father. You treat people like your Father. You make relationships just like your daddy, your heavenly Father. As good as my earthly father was, we're talking about your heavenly Father, the one you belong to. He's the one that will come and make your relationship safe. As you encourage other people, just like Jesus encouraged Zacchaeus by his presence. See, my presence in our relationship as a marriage relationship is supposed to be the most valuable thing I bring. Not all the money, not all the looks, not all the cooking, not anything you can make, earn, or do is more important than your presence. Your presence is important. The presence is your presence encouraging to the people you're with. In other words, who's up in the tree in your life? Is it a parent? A child? A friend? Who's up in the tree that doesn't feel like they belong, and you need to let them know, I'm here, I'm going to come beside you, I'm going to be with you, we're going to get through this. I don't know how we're going to get through it, but we're going to get through this. We will get through this, because I'm going to be with you. My presence will go with you. I will encourage you and believe in you. You know, belief is the one thing that changes it. My parenting that day, I'm not sure, changed, but Bo's belief in me caused me to change. And God wants to do that today. He wants us to belong to Him and to belong in a safe relationship and to belong in a church family.
And we don't want anybody to leave today without being certain that you belong to God.
Yes.
And that means accepting Jesus. So I'd like for all of us to repeat this prayer. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins.
Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins.
I believe you are the Son of God.
I believe you are the Son of God.
And you died for me.
And you died for me.
Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior.
Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior.
Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, and we believe that you now belong to God, You're part of God's family.
Yes.
And so I would encourage you to tell someone that you did that. And there will be people out in the hub after the service, and you can talk to them about how to become a part of this church family and how to take some steps in that direction.
And would you stand with me? And I want to give them one more round of applause, but the way I want to do that is I want them to receive it as a thank you from the church, because Bo and Alice have been here for so many years and have poured into so many lives. And we really don't have a way of knowing how many marriages have been saved, how many relationships have been saved, how many parents with children. I remember just myself personally, my wife, when my son was 2 years old, my son was a handful. And my wife hit one of those days where she was just completely at her wit's end, and she called Alice. And Alice literally talked her off the edge of the cliff and gave her some advice that wasn't just advice to get through that moment. It really helped us in raising our son. And it was just a moment. It was just a moment on that telephone. But there's no telling how many countless hundreds or thousands of those many stories there are, and probably for many of you. So with all of that, would you give them a round of applause as a thank you so much?
Aw, thank you. Thank you. Very nice.
And Bo, I am going to eat me some bacon, so I'll be laying on that heart calf table. No, I won't. I'm not even going to speak that over myself. All right. So you guys get out there, enjoy the food trucks. Don't forget about that date, August 7th. It's coming up. Mark it on your calendar at the River Dogs. That's going to be awesome, fun time. I bless you with the awareness that you not only belong to the most awesome Father in the universe, your Father God, but you belong here at Cathedral. You have a place and always will. We love you. Have a great day. Lord bless you. You're dismissed.